Hey guys, pull your Bibles open with me. We're in Mark chapter 2. What is the name of our series? Remind me. Gospel Life. Just like your shirt, we put a gospel there. Yes, Gospel Life. What is the Gospel Life, Chelsea? Miss Answers.
A life for the gospel.
Good job.
Yes, a life for the gospel. That's a good start. Who can help Chelsea elaborate on her answer? A young man. A young man. The bumper sticker, what did that have to do with this? Can you...
Like, you say what type of life you want to live?
Yeah. What is your life all about, right? Whether it be salt, whether it be chomping or swamping or mudding or whatever, right? We say gospel life because we want our life to be all about the gospel. And we've been reading through what book? Oh.
Proverbs.
Not Romans, not Proverbs. The Bible is the correct book we're in. What book of the Bible? Mark, thank you. Yeah, we're in Mark. That's why I told you to open to Mark. Hint, hint. And some of you guys cheated. You said Romans. Yeah, that's just our like slogan verse. So we're in Mark, not Romans, Mark chapter 2. How many of you guys got Bibles? Even digital Bibles, anybody? Digital Bible? A few of you. Hey, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to church. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. While you guys are opening your invisible Bibles, I will give you a second to do that. Matt and Justin and I just went to Guatemala. We were there for a week. We just got back yesterday. And one of the cool things I just want to share with you guys that happened to us is that we've been going around kind of planting churches, helping pastors plant more churches, things like that. And so we go out and we're in the middle of the jungle and we're visiting this new church that just got planted, and we get to go like hang out with them and worship with them. And I got to teach the word. And after we're done, we start walking out of the village, and we notice that the other church in the town, which is basically like they're a Catholic church, but they're also Mayan. So they kind of worship like the corn god and the sun god and other things as well. They're doing this like crazy festival, and like, what's going on over there? So we start to walk over, and we notice that like this church or temple or whatever it was like all adorned with like all these really cool like things they had going on. And the people were outside and they had these big like pots full of smoke, and the smoke's like going up, and they're like saying these prayers, doing these crazy dances to like the corn god, because the next day they were going to plant corn, and they were like praying to him that they would, the corn would grow. Like, that was what they were doing. So we walk over and we're checking it out. And all of a sudden I see the leader of that church. He's like a little shriveled up old guy. He's about maybe this tall, maybe. And a little chubby guy. He comes running up to me and I'm like, uh-oh, I'm all done now. This guy's going to like be mad at us. He's going to be mad we're sharing the gospel, we're doing the church. And he marches right up to me, looks up, squinches his nose like this, and he's just looking at me. I'm like, can I help you? Like, what's this guy, what's he doing here? What's his story? And he looks up and he's like, how come you visit them and not us? And I'm like, oh, all right, well, cool. Like, I'll visit you guys. So I walk over with him to his church, and he actually wants to like show me around all the stuff they're doing. And he's showing me how like they use these little smoke things to pray to their God, and that they were going to dance all night long until like 4 a.m. the next morning, this crazy dance that they do to like beg the gods to like bless them. So they were going to show us the dance, and like they put all these like palm fronds everywhere in their church and brought like these different gifts from their houses as like an offering to their gods. And they all put them right in the center of the church. And it was all sorts of crazy stuff too, like just things from their house. And so I'm looking at all these things, and he's like really proudly like telling me, look what we do, you know? And I'm like, that's cool. It's cool to see your culture, to see what you guys do. And then as we're leaving, he's like, well, did you preach to that other group? And I'm like, yeah, it's a church. Like, I go over there and I preach to them when I come. And he's like, well, you never preach to our group. And I was like, yeah, that's right, because you usually want to run us out of the village. You don't really like us very much for what we're preaching. And he's like, well, when are you coming back? And I was like, well, we're coming back in March. And we're going to do a whole mission. I'm going to have a bunch of kids with me. We're going to do a mission trip here. And he's like, okay. And he pulls out his little calendar, and he looks for a date. And he's like, you come to my church and preach. I have all these. There were like 300 people. He's like, I have all of them here, and they listen to you preach whatever you preached over there. And he like marks my name down. I'm like, what? I'm like, do you know what I'm preaching? Like, I'm not going to preach what you want. And he's like, no, that's okay. You preach what you need to. You come back in March and you preach. So I actually have like a date to go preach in this like Mayan temple. I'm going to get to go preach the gospel. And this guy who's run us out of town every other time we've gone there. So I thought that was phenomenal. I wanted to share that with you guys because it goes right along with what we're going to see in our passage tonight in Mark chapter 2. So read with me real quick, verses 13 to 17. It says, he went out again. We're talking about Jesus here. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician or a doctor, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." As we look at this story, we see Jesus, and what's he doing? Is he chilling, just doing nothing? What does it say in that first verse? In verse 13, it says, he went out again. You know what's really cool about Jesus' ministry? The dude never sat still. Like every once in a while, he'd take a little break, but even when he was taking a break, people were coming to him and he was sharing the gospel. You know, we've been talking about a gospel life and kind of like, how do we actually live as followers of Jesus in this thing that we call like our entire life? Remember we said that the gospel doesn't just change your life when you meet Jesus. It should actually become your whole life. Well, here's Jesus and look what he's doing. The Son of God himself. He went out again, it says. And again, he's constantly going out. He's constantly telling people this good news. Sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, how often am I doing this? Like, is this really a gospel life for me, or is this just something I'm teaching on Wednesday nights? Is this something that I really believe should be my entire life, that I'm constantly going out telling people this awesome news that I have? You know that as I visited that church, the little house church, the believers, before I went over to the Mayan one, I got to share the story of good news with them. I got to share why the gospel was actually good news. Like, do you guys know why it's good news? Why do we say it? Why do we call it the gospel? Why do we call it good news? Any ideas? DJ?
Because it's telling us that we're saved.
Is it good that we're saved? Is that good news? Well, why?
Because all of us have to go to hell.
Hey, I don't know about you. That sounds like really stinking good news, right? Like, that's exciting news. What were you going to say?
Because we have hope.
Because we have hope. We don't have to live like hopeless forever. How awesome is it that, guess what? You're going to get to see the God of all creation face to face. You're going to get to look at him and walk with Jesus in heaven. You're going to get to see him make an infinite, just forever, constantly making amazing things that are going to blow your mind. And you get to be with a God who created you. If that doesn't get you a little bit excited and sound like really good news, listen to it again. I'm going to say it all. No, I won't say it all over again. But I should like 1,000 times, right? Because this is the best news we're ever going to get. And I got to stand in front of this church and tell them why this was such good news that they had. And I think good news should really make us smile. Like, it should make us excited. What's up, AJ?
Good news because it gives us, it's telling us that through all the trials in our life, there's the best is yet to come.
Absolutely, dude. That's great, great, great news. And so Jesus gets to go out and tell people this amazing news. And so for him to go out again and again is awesome. I mean, when you get good news, isn't it fun to tell people good news? As a matter of fact, isn't it like hard not to tell people good news? Let's say you get like straight A's in your report card. Aren't you going to want everyone to know that? You are. It's amazing news, especially if you usually get like D's and F's, right? You want everyone, I got all A's this time. It's exciting. Let's say you like kick the winning goal in a soccer game or throw the winning basket in a basketball game or run in the winning touchdown in a football game. How excited would you be? Would you not want to go tell everybody, call up your friends and text them? That's good stinking news. Now listen to this. We're not just talking about football and basketball or grades. We're talking about the rest of eternity. Whoa. That's good stinking news. And so Jesus is out all about this gospel. All about this good news because he knows why it's worth it. He knows why it's so good. Now listen, if you guys are believers in Jesus, if you have the salvation, you need to know why it's so good. And if you do get it, it should excite the heck out of you. You should be jumping up being like, I need to tell everybody this awesome news. Because that's exactly what Jesus was doing. Look at this. And then it says that he went out again beside the sea. Now, we already talked about this a little bit. Can anybody remember why would he go into like the deserts or go up by the sea? Why did he have to do that? Was he going fishing? Yeah, he could talk to bigger groups of people. There was room for them to fit around. And so he had to go out. In other words, there's another huge crowd around Jesus. Like, they're constantly people seeking this guy. And then it says that all the crowd was coming to him. Man, I love that. Like, they're all coming to Jesus. They're all going exactly to the one place they need to be. The only place they'll actually find the answers that they're asking, to what they're asking. And I just wonder how many questions there are in our minds in here. I wonder how many of us need to go to Jesus to find those answers like these people were. Do you know that tonight, all over the world, people are coming to Jesus? There are people in Guatemala right now getting saved. There are people in China right now accepting Jesus. There are people right here on this island tonight accepting Jesus. That's great news. I don't know if that makes you guys smile. You're like, whew, more people are going to get to go to heaven and not have to burn forever in hell. That's amazing news. People all over the world right now are accepting Jesus. But there are so many people that still need to hear this good news. And it's up to us. It's up to us to tell our friends in our classes and our family members and whoever else we come in contact with this amazing news. Jesus calls us to tell them. I just hope we're doing it. You know, I hope we're that excited about this news that we're really able to share this with other people. And maybe there's some people in this room tonight. Maybe there's some people right here tonight that are about to hear this news and that are actually going to come to Jesus. And there's nothing that would excite me more than that. That if people here tonight heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit grabbed your heart and you were like, man, I need Christ. Man, I pray that all the time. I constantly throughout the week pray for you. If you don't know Christ, that you get to. And maybe there's just some people in this room tonight that just need to be called back by His side. Like, you believe in Him, but you've been away a little bit. And you need Jesus to call you back so you can get excited about this awesome news again. So there's people, there's this huge crowd coming to Jesus. And look what He was doing. It says, and He was teaching them. Like, He was teaching them. Jesus wasn't sitting there like playing a violin or like telling some really like awesome stories to get people to cry. Jesus wasn't juggling in the air and doing all these cool things. Like, Jesus was just sitting there and He was teaching these people. He's teaching them the truth. And these crowds were just like pouring in. And His mission was really simple, to make disciples. What's a disciple? Do you know, DJ? I called right on you because you were looking at me, so I was like, oh, pick on you. What's a disciple? Someone who follows Jesus, right? Exactly, that's good, man. It's a learner. It's someone who follows after Jesus. You know, and we are called in that same mission to help people follow after Jesus. Do you guys, we've been talking a lot about having your five. As long as we've been talking about gospel life and Pastor Titus has been preaching on Sunday mornings, we've been talking a lot about finding five people, at least in your life, that you're going to share this awesome news with. How many of you guys have taken that to heart? How many of you guys have actually really prayed through five different people that you could go out and just share this great news with? And I hope you take it serious, because these are people that still need to come to Jesus. And they still need to hear this awesome news. So Jesus was all about it. And He is teaching and making disciples. Look at verse 14. It says, and as He passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And He said to him, follow Me. And He rose and followed Him. Now, here's something we've already talked about a couple months back. This guy named Levi. Who can tell me who Levi is? He went by another name. Anybody know? Matthew. And so Levi is his Hebrew name. Matthew is his Christian name, or his Greek name. And so Matthew is sitting there, and what is he doing? Anyone know what Matthew's job was, AJ? Tax collector. He's a tax collector. Now, do you remember how people viewed tax collectors at this time? Chelsea's giving a big old negativo, right? A big old thumbs down. Not very good, Chelsea, I take it?
No.
Well, like, what did they think about tax collectors? Anybody?
They
don't like them because they take their money. Why else do they? I mean, nobody likes that, but why else do they not like them? A couple other reasons, yeah.
Because usually, like, they're really rich.
Yeah, usually they're rich because they made us poor. Not us, but, like, that's what they're thinking. Yeah.
They took more than what
They rip people off. Yeah, they take more money than what they're supposed to take. Why else? Who were they? Where were they from usually? Were they foreigners? Huh? Let's say that the people they were living among were Jews. They were usually Jews that would take money from their own people and then give it to who? The Romans. The Romans ruled everybody at the time. So they were like ripping off their own people. That's messed up. That's like if China came in and they took over America, and then all of a sudden like AJ and Kanan were like, we'll help you out, China. And then they came and ripped all our money off us and gave it to China. We would be so mad at them, right? We'd be like, we don't like you. You're traitors, right? That's exactly what Levi or Matthew was doing. And so listen, that wasn't it. Chelsea or somebody over here said that he was rich. He wasn't just rich, but he was powerful and popular, and he knew all the right people, and so he would hang out with the right people. The right people, right? And so, correcto. And so he's hanging out with all these people that probably weren't the best influences. They weren't the best people, but they were really rich. And, you know, they were really powerful and had a lot of influence. And they were probably really cool. Because they all had money and all knew exactly the coolest things to do and had the latest things out. And Matthew, as a tax collector, got the right, the privilege to be able to hang with people like that. And it seemed really awesome. It was probably a really good lifestyle for someone who didn't know any better. And so you get this Matthew guy, and Jesus sees him, and he's sitting at his tax booth. Like, he's literally working. He's at work. Let's say you work at Wendy's, right? You're in there, you're flipping your little burgers around, getting some fries out. All of a sudden, Jesus walks by. Like, right in the middle, you flipping the burger. The dude's like, hey, where's my fries? And you're like, Jesus, there's Jesus. Oh, whoa, what's going on? So Matthew's sitting there in the middle of doing his little stuff, changing money wherever he does, like taking people's taxes, and Jesus walks right by as he's in the middle of work. He's not just like hanging out with nothing to do. He's actually really busy. And he's making money, profitable money right there at the time. And Jesus walks by, and as Jesus sees him, he says two words. Just two words. Follow me. I don't know about you, but it would probably take more than two words for anyone to get my attention, period. Okay? I'm a little ADD. Okay? But on top of that, he's like sitting there making money, doing his thing on top of the world. And it doesn't say that Jesus walked by and fell on his knees and begged this guy. It doesn't say that Jesus had to sit there and try to convince him or shake him really hard, like, hey, listen, this is really what you need to do to try to convince him. All it took were two words. One command is all it took. Follow me. That's it. It was that simple. And Matthew gets up and he follows. Man. Then I think about sometimes like us as we're at church and we're looking for Jesus here. Like that's why we come to this place. What does it take for us to really get up and follow Jesus? To obey. Like, does it take praise bands with lasers and smoke and all that stuff? Does it take, like, really good stories? Does it take jumping around and dancing? Does it take, like, what does it take for us to actually come to this place and be like, Jesus, if you say go, I'll go. What is it going to take Jesus to do in you, maybe if he's calling you to the mission field? What's he going to have to do in your life to be like, hey, I'm calling you to go to Asia. I'm calling you to go to Africa. I'm calling you to Australia. Maybe he's just like, hey, I'm calling you to your own family. I just want you to walk across the hallway, dude, and be like, hey, my brother doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know this good news. I'm just going to go tell him. What will it take, though, for Jesus to call you and for you to listen and say, I'll follow? Because for Matthew, this dude was not a good church-going guy. This dude was not like hurting. He wasn't at the bottom of the barrel. This dude had no reason to get up and be like, okay, sure, I'll just follow you. He was leaving everything behind. And it only took two words, one command for him to get up and be like, Jesus, you're worth it. I'll leave it all behind. Let's go. I think it's interesting with Matthew because the other guys, they were kind of like good dudes, you know, and they were like fishermen and they were just kind of living simple lives and it wasn't really that big of a deal for them. But when you look at Matthew, he is in the middle of like what the whole world thinks is the best life, parties and friends and money and everything you can think of that you watch TV and they're like, you need to party a lot. You need to drink a lot. You need to have awesome friends. You need lots of money and buy cool toys. That was Matthew. He was living it. And you know what? It only took two words still for Matthew to get up and follow. As cool as all that stuff was, as entrenched as he was in that type of life, Jesus was just like, follow me. And the dude got up and followed him. You know, that tells me that my Jesus is so stinking awesome that he only needs to look at me in the face and say, come on. And I can see how great that guy is, man. And I should be willing just to get up and go, whatever you say, Jesus, let's go. Nothing's better than you. Guys, I don't know if you believe that or not. Like, I don't know if you've bought into this whole like TV junk that tells you what life should look like, but I'll tell you what, the word of God from God himself says that that's a lie. The greatest thing you're ever going to find is Jesus looking you in the face going, hey, follow me. And if you don't follow, forgive this word, but you're stupid. You're just stupid, because the greatest thing in all of creation, the greatest person in all of creation is offering you eternal life, and you're looking back going, nah, I like this better, this garbage better. Man, Matthew got it. He had all the good garbage he could want, and he was like, whew, Jesus is better. I'm following you. So he gets right up, and he follows after Jesus. And that's pretty awesome. Okay, so then verse 15 says, we got Matthew, we got Jesus, they're hanging out now. They go, and it says, and as he reclined at his table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Now look, Jesus is back at his house, Matthew's with him, they're chilling. They're just hanging out in the house, and it says they're reclining. Any idea why it says they're reclining? Or they have like lazy boys and stuff, and they're like watching TV? What are they doing? Anybody know? Check out these pictures. When I was in Afghanistan, which is a very similar culture to what's going on here, I got to hang out with some people in their home. And this is what it looks like, okay? That's Fayez right there with the regular clothes. And these are some guys who invite us in their house. What are they doing? You're reclining back. You're chilling. You're relaxing on these big fluffy like thingamajigs on the carpet. And look, you like break all the bread and you eat and you just chill out and recline. And you know what? In these cultures, that is the most intimate time of your day. When you invite somebody that you know into your house and you break bread for them and you kind of relax with them and lay back and just talk, you begin to talk and talk and talk for hours. You'll just sit there and you'll share parts of your heart that you wouldn't just share on the street, and you start to really develop friendships and relationships in rooms just like this. It's like the most intimate time of your life as you spend with people. And so as we see Jesus right now, he is sharing in this awesome, intimate time of fellowship and community with people. But look who he's sharing it with. Many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Matthew, all the other disciples, Jesus, they're all sitting there. They're trying to follow God, right? They've left all this junk behind. And who are they spending their most intimate time with in this place? Who are they reclining with, eating dinner, talking with? Sinners. These traitor tax collectors. And I'll tell you what, a gospel life is totally invested in the gospel. Whether you're reclining at home, chilling out, or you're at school, or you're actually out at like a church doing a church thing, no matter where you are, you could just be laying back eating dinner. You should be about the gospel. I don't care if you're walking through Publix. A gospel life is totally invested in the gospel. But guess what it takes to do that? It takes sinners. You got to be around sinners. You got to be around the people that are hard to be around. You got to be around people that it might be kind of risky to be around because they're not great influences. Now, right away, I got to stop you right here, because you're going to, I don't want you to run with this. I don't want you to be like, hey, Rob, so what you're saying is when my parents want to hang out with those kids that do drugs, like I should just go behind their back and hang out with them anyway because it's for the gospel? No. No, that's absolutely not at all what I'm telling you. What am I saying then? Let's look a little bit further at how Jesus did this. And maybe we can do this like Jesus did it the right way. He says, many tax collectors and sinners, right, were reclining with Jesus. But who else? And who? His disciples. Who are Jesus' most intimate friends? The disciples. Did they love God? Do they love Jesus? Yes. So Jesus surrounding himself with good core people that are going to lift him up in the gospel. And you know what they did? They went than around people that didn't know God, that didn't know this good news, that were considered sinners. Why? For the reason of sharing this good news with them. Now, at first you're like, this doesn't, I mean, that's kind of obvious. Well, look what Jesus says about it. Because Jesus is like, yeah, this is a duh moment. Like, duh. Verse 16, and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said just what we said. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Like, Jesus must be a bad guy, right? Here you go. Here's the dope slap Jesus gives him, and he gives us all at the same time. Duh. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, verse 17, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now listen to me. I'm almost done. I know you guys have short attention spans here. Okay? Me too. I do too. Jesus is telling them with this dope slap, people who have like good health, do they need a doctor? When you're feeling awesome, does your mom wake you up in the morning and be like, you're looking good today, we better take you to the doctor? No fever, okay, let's go to the doctor. Like, does that make sense? Oh, you don't have a cough, we better go to the doctor, come on. No, it doesn't make any sense. That's dumb, right? It's a dope slap for us, like, duh. If you're well, you don't need a doctor. But the sick people do. When you're sick, your mom's like, oh, we've got to get you to the doctor, get some medicine here. It tastes nasty, but you know, like that whole spiel? Yeah, because you're sick. And Jesus now takes that illustration and he compares it to what we're talking about tonight. Why is he sitting with sinners? Why is he sitting with tax collectors? Because they need a doctor. Because those are the ones that need the one who can actually save them. Those are the ones that need this good news, which is the medicine that we're talking about. So what am I trying to tell you tonight? Not like give up all your good Christian friends and stop going to church and just go hang out with sinners. What I'm telling you is that there should be some people in your life that you can responsibly hang out with and serve and love dearly that you can share this good news with. When was the last time you invited someone to Firehouse? When was the last time you sat with someone different at lunch just because you know they need the gospel? And you want to be their friend and show them Christ. When was the last time you cared? I guess maybe this is an appropriate question. Have you ever? Have you ever cared? Because our call from Jesus tonight is to either start caring or to get back to it. That there should be people in your life that need to hear this good news, that need a doctor. They need a savior. Now here's the cool thing is, Jesus didn't exactly hang out with tax collectors. And walking around sharing that message of, hey, guess what? Leave all of your money and stuff and fame and wealth. Just throw it all away. That's probably not news that's going to make many tax collectors follow him like Matthew did. They're probably just going to be like, you're, yeah, no. But yet he's here tonight in his house and he's surrounded by sinners and tax collectors. How do you think that happened? I tell you, it's not in the text, so I can't promise you this for certain, but I can't deny the fact that Matthew had to have played a part in this. I bet Matthew's closest friends who were sinners and tax collectors, just like he was, those people he used to hang out with, saw the change in Matthew and were like, who is this guy? And because Matthew started telling people what we're talking about here and sharing that good news, all of a sudden, all of these people that used to hang with Matthew are sitting around Jesus himself. They came to the doctor. Now listen, we're all Matthew. We're all, at one point of our life, either were or still are, in a place where we were these sinners. We need this gospel. And if Jesus has changed your life and you're not doing anything with it, if Jesus has changed my life and I don't do anything with it, I need to be ashamed. I need to run back to this Jesus and say, look, show me my five. Show me people in my life that need the gospel and don't let me be so scared of non-believers that I'm never sharing it. I'm just trying to be like them and act like they act and hopefully they won't see I'm a Christian, but I'm proud of being a Christian. I love my Jesus, so when he looks at me and says, follow me, I'm up, I'm going. I'll leave it all behind, follow him, and tell as many stinking people as I can about this awesome news. That's a gospel life. And I pray that as we close tonight with this message, I pray that some of you guys in here, And God be touching your heart. And you're like, Rob, I'm tired of just being like the guy who plays around all the time. I'm tired of never taking anything serious. I'm tired of fitting the world's view of what a junior higher is, a middle schooler is. I want to actually serve Jesus. And I want to get up and follow crazy like Matthew. Whatever age I am, I don't care. I want to do this. And I pray the Holy Spirit's touching your heart. I tell you what, as you leave here, I'm going to keep praying it. I'm going to be praying it for the next couple years. Hopefully one day when you graduate, I'll be able to look you in the face and be like, dude, I've been praying for you. I'm so glad you finally are living this crazy gospel life like Jesus has called you to. Because I love you guys. And this is what we're all called to do. Will you pray with me? Father God, we do love you so much. Lord, this is awesome news. We don't deserve what you've done for us. We don't deserve that Christ died for us. Lord, we get to be with you forever. Help us be excited about that. Make it fresh in our minds and hearts so that we can tell everybody we see about this awesome news. Lord, help us to be obedient in the way we live our life. God, be responsible with the people we're around so we keep good influences to hold us accountable. But that we also be telling people that are far from you, God, that need a doctor, about this good news. We love you, Christ. I lift these students up. Lord, touch their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.